This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Well, it's probably time we talk about the show. Unknown Number, the high school catfish on Netflix. Lots of people are buzzing about this. Carol Hughes been buzzing about this, and I down and I watched it, and I swear to God, honestly, the first 45 minutes, I'm like, why am I watching this, Carol? What are we?
I'm like, you've got to watch this.
Well, it's like all high school drama at first, right. And you're like, right. And like, of course, kids are doing this and saying horrible things to each other. We used to do it through little notes that we would, you know, like fold up in origami shapes and pass to each other in the hall, like we're doing a drug deal or something. And now it's digital, and it can be far worse and far more damning, because this sort of stuff, it's not just in a hallway. It intrudes into your life. It intrudes into every single inch of it. And the level to which this thing went.
Oh, it's disturbing. The messages that they got, mm-hmm, were very graphic, very sexual.
Yeah.
In a really gross way.
And it makes it even more disturbing when you end up learning where it all came from.
Yeah. So if you don't want a spoiler alert, heads up.
There will be a spoiler in this. We won't spoil it quite yet, but there's a lot in this. It all, to kind of set the scene, if you've not seen this documentary on Netflix yet, it was a small, tight-knit community. Beale City, Michigan is where it all takes place. Lauren Licari, who is 17, and her boyfriend Owen were the golden couple, if you will, of the high school. Good students, involved in school. Everyone thought they were headed for bright futures. They had friends, they're attractive, you know, they're some of the popular kids, I guess is what you would say. And then in 2020, texts started coming in. Lauren and Owen began getting anonymous texts individually onto their phones. And before your eyes glaze over on this going, oh, this is teenage, follow along, okay? Because this is not teenage stuff. This will get crazy, trust me. At first, they just kind of seem like silly pranks, so maybe like jealous classmates, maybe friends goofing around. But it wasn't taken super seriously. It was kind of weird, like, why is somebody this obsessively sending me these texts? But by 2021, the text became constant, 40 to 50 messages a day. And they weren't harmless jokes. They were filled with insults, lies about Owen cheating. So the girl was receiving these Owen's cheating messages and disturbing commands telling Lauren to go kill herself. So you're here, you're getting this. And if you're that girl, and you're receiving this information from this source that's saying that, oh, he loves me, not you, you can't really figure out who it could be because he's not doing anything with anybody else, at least not that you're aware of. I mean, what is going through your mind at 17 hearing something?
Oh my God, like, yes. You know, because that is such an insecure age to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's all kinds of drama between the kids. And so you assume this is one of your classmates. Why do they hate me so much? Is this how everybody feels about me? They also called her anorexic, mm-hmm, which is really also very bothersome and triggering.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kill yourself. Could you say anything worse to somebody than that?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right. Like, when I was watching it too, I was the same way. Like, oh, high school drama, this is not for me.
Yeah.
But once I got into it, I'm like, I would like to know who's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's after I watched it, I'm like, oh my God, you've got to see this. It's just, you know, and it's saying some of the worst things I've ever read.
And
not just to the girl, to him as well. Like, it was extremely sexual to him.
And I think that's important to understand, of just how dark these messages were to this young girl,
yeah,
and to him. too. The stress eventually cracked their relationship. They started to get in fights. And Owen eventually, you know, you're in high school. I mean, it's not the end of the world to break up with somebody, but you know, you'd like, it feels bad if you're breaking up for a reason that has nothing to do with that relationship. But he eventually just suggested, let's just break up. Let's see if the bullying would stop.
I didn't
even know. No, not even that. Even after that split, the harassment actually intensified. So you got to be thinking, okay, I did what you wanted. We broke up. Now what? Why is this still going on? Why does somebody still feel the need to harass me in this way? And there's the anonymous portion of this, the anonymity of being able to do it, because these texts are coming in. If someone's going, well, just look up who's sending it. You don't. It's a mm-hmm. random number generator that was being used to create these fake phone numbers. If you didn't know you can do that, yes, you can do that. Takes a little bit of knowledge, I guess, on how to do it. Might even cost some money if you're going to use a service that creates that sort of thing. So it's kind of interesting that a high school kid's going to even have knowledge of it, but or have the funds to, like, I'm going to spend money on this to use a service that would fake these numbers coming in, because they would block them. You think, well, right. Just
they
block
would
them.
Block them, and then they would just come through a different yeah. number. It's kind of like spam, how you get yeah. a spam one and you block it, but then next day you're going to still, I want to buy your house.
Yeah. And we're sometimes the emails, like, well, this looks like it's from a legitimate address, but it's really not. It's a fake one. That's basically, it's a mask is what's going on. So as soon as somebody would block this, these texts would keep coming in, and eventually people started talking, because it was nuts. Nobody could figure out who is doing this. And everyone is trying to figure out who is doing this, because they're upset. Like, this is horrible. This shouldn't be happening to these kids. They're good kids. There's no reason for these horrible things to be said. It's a small town environment. Everyone's watching. Everybody is spreading the gossip. 40 to 50 texts a day is kind of a lot when it comes to something like this, especially if it's not somebody you're actively having a conversation with. That's a one way, let me insult you and say horrible things to you all day. So these things keep coming in, impersonating others, manipulating existing insecurities that seemingly the texter knew about, mm-hmm. which was even creepier, because it would speak to not just something that, you know, is a rumor or you would have general knowledge of a person. This person was sending these horrible texts, like in the middle of games, in the middle of events where these kids are participating. So you know the person has to be there, or someone is giving information to someone on the outside that would then tell them, okay, this is what you should say. I mean, if you're that much of an operation to shame a 17-year-old girl for dating her boyfriend, or shame the boyfriend for dating this young girl. Parents, teachers, everybody was very upset, trying to figure out exactly what the hell was going on. I would, it'd be a very helpless feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it intentionally framed other children. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now they're still children, you know? Mm-hmm. This was going on while they're sophomores, juniors in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody then becomes really suspicious of everyone else at school. I think they're like watching at each other when they're texting and using their phones. It's like, mm-hmm. is that when she got a message? And so there was people who were really suspected of sending these messages.
The school was checking their cameras. They were trying to look at the timestamps of when a message was sent, and then if on the security cameras they could see if any of the kids maybe be on their phone at that moment in time. Mm-hmm. Surprise, they're all on their phone at that time.
Everybody's a suspect.
When you looked at the security camera, every single one of them are walking down the halls like this, just and somehow navigating. I think, if anything, what cell phones are doing for us, they're creating a sense of sonar like bats have and ants have. So we can now navigate the environment around us.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Without looking up. How did that happen? Cell phones. They brought out our psychic sense of knowing what is around us. You do wonder sometimes how some of these kids navigate and they're not looking up. It's like, how do you know to turn right here? It's kind of spooky. Would the relationship have survived without the cyber pressure, or was it doomed once trust eroded? Well, I guess I would ask anyone who's had a high school relationship, are you still with that person?
Right. 100% chance.
There's like some people are, but not a whole. I mean, it would have ran its course very likely, but it didn't have to run it this way. It didn't have to run it with trauma mixed into both of these kids' lives.
Yeah, it could have just been a fun high school sweetheart situation. Yeah. You know, lots of people had that sweetheart. You look back on it fondly, usually, sometimes, not always. But, you know, it's a growing experience. You learn a lot from your high school sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
See him at the reunion and you're like, he doesn't look so good, but I do, you know, sort of thing. But you know what I'm saying? It should have just been a high school sweetheart situation. Mm-hmm. It should have been.
And for that small town police force, tracking this was nearly impossible. I mean, look, even when you get the FBI involved, because that's how far this went. The FBI, federal investigators, ended up subpoenaing records from the apps because it was getting that dark. I mean, and when you have this constant churn of threat coming at you, even if it's not direct, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to hurt you. It was asking for them to hurt themselves. And then it got to the point where there were some threats of either you do it or we'll do it for you. So you started to really worry. I mean, if you're a parent, you'd be free. Like, my God, somebody's threatening my kid. What the hell is going on? Why is this even happening? You're gonna take it to the next level because this person doesn't seem to know any bounds of what's okay and what's not. Are they here? Are they even in this school? You don't know the answer. So the FBI gets involved and they subpoena the records from the apps looking for an IP address. Well, the FBI, they dug. They went to the VPN area. They went to the place that these numbers, essentially, I'm just trying to make it as simple sounding as I can, were being generated from. And then from there, they subpoenaed that information, and that could tell us, well, who was requesting, what IP address, what computer is speaking to this one saying we need fake phone numbers? Because that's going to tell you who's behind all of it. And the reveal? It wasn't a classmate. It was not a jealous peer. The IP traced back to the girl in this story, her name is Lauren, in case you forgot, back to her home. So what's going on? Initially, some people were thinking, was she doing this? Was she sending these to herself for attention? I mean, it's not out of the question. There's all sorts of, young girls, young boys, you know, that will do things for attention. I mean, to very extreme degrees. And then it's exposed. And it's like, why were you doing that? And it's a cry for help in some way, shape, or form, but ultimately to get attention. But here's the thing. It wasn't her. It was not Lauren texting these things to herself for attention. The person who was literally texting someone, you should kill yourself if you don't do it soon, you know, maybe we will, something, things of that nature. Horrible, horrible graphic messages about the boyfriend, about the relationship.
Yeah, you don't even want to read those because they were disgusting.
Mom was doing it. Kendra Licari, her mom. Turned out she was the one.
Mother.
Yeah.
That's when I'm texting you going, you've got to watch this.
She even posed as a concerned parent.
Of course she did. She had to cover her own ass.
She stayed in touch with the police about the investigation. And at one point, tried to even frame another student.
Mm-hmm.
So other families and other people who are looking at this family, going, oh my God, this is horrible. I can't believe this is happening to your daughter. We got to figure this out. They're putting their voices on the line. They're putting their names on the line, trying to come to a conclusion. And they were pointing at other kids. Other parents are pointing at other kids. And they're openly saying this to authorities and others. And there's no evidence coming back that points to it being the people that they think it is, because it's not. But there's people who are being ostracized, essentially getting a scarlet letter on them because they believe that this is who's doing it, but they just can't quite prove it. And this mom was willing to encourage that, even though she knew she was the one who was doing it.
And there was one of the text messages that made it real specific. Mm-hmm. That she, so the daughter Lauren goes to her mom and they decide, oh, it has to be this one girl.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had something to do with scoring points in a basketball game. And the mom was the scorekeeper. Well, she's the only one who scored that many points that day. So the mom was intentionally setting that girl up.
She was trying to fill in the blanks for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And this girl is just going to high school, you know? Yeah. She got nothing to do with any of this. She's not going after the boyfriend. She's got her own life she's leading. And the mom intentionally tried to set her up so it looked like her.
I mean, this is another case of a narcissist gone wild. I mean, this reminds me of the Donna Adelson case that we're covering in so many ways, except it's already been exposed. And all I can say to that young girl, that this is her mom, who she still, and we'll get to more of this, still willingly wants to have that relationship with. Trust me, you don't. it's not going to lead to anything good.
Right.
And mama ain't going to change. I mean, on the surface right now, seem like she's doing something different. Trust me. You're going to have a relationship with anybody in your life other than her for the rest of it. And considering you're like 18 right now, you probably will. Don't assume any of those will be healthy, successful relationships if she's in your world.
I think she's so young that she doesn't see that yet. And the mom, and
love bombs. Exactly.
That was going to be what I was going to say. And I'm sure we'll get to that in a minute. But the mom's over the top. And then, you know, she makes this girl feel like, whoopsie, it was just a mistake mom made. Mm-hmm. You know, because. And we'll get into mom and that, but I just feel so bad for her. The daughter, I just want to give her a hug and be like, I am really, really sorry this happened to you.
It's a difficult thing for a child of any age, whether it's an adult child of someone like this, or it's an actual child still in their youth, mm-hmm. to try and wrap your mind around the idea that your parent would be using their power, their knowledge to manipulate you, to hurt you, to control the people around you, to control this narrative that's going on. Now it's not just in your home. It's not just between you and your boyfriend. It's the community.
Right.
And willingly continue to dig into it and control everyone like a marionette.
But the mom at one point, she kind of explains it away as, I know Lauren's strong enough to handle this sort of thing. No, you don't know how deep that wound is. You know, she said some really hateful, horrific things.
Yeah.
And then she tries to spin it in such a way so the daughter forgives her. Look, I love you so much. You know, I have my own trauma, which is why I did that.
And that's what they all go back to. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, and there's probably some truth to that. But unfortunately, a lot of narcissists and monsters like this will then try to justify their monstrous behavior. Well, somebody did this to me. Well, that doesn't make it okay that you're doing this to somebody else. Well, I'm not saying it does. Well, the fact that you're bringing that up at all, really, you're trying to downplay, you're trying to denigrate the trauma that you've heaved over here on this person by saying, well, I'm hurt too. You're an adult. Figure your shit out.
You're a parent.
You're a parent. I don't give a shit. I don't care who raped you. I don't care who ran you over. I don't care anything that you've gone through. If you're doing this kid, this stuff to your own child, which makes it, I feel like, 1,000 times worse.
Right?
I'm sorry, you're the monster here. You always will be the monster. I wonder how much of a monster you were for more of your life than you're aware of. And I also very much question anyone's trauma story and the legitimacy of it. If you're willing to go to this length to manipulate people and your child and all that, how true is your trauma that you're suddenly just cannot control and it's affecting your life this way? How bad was it really?
And it wasn't like a week's worth of texts. This went on for 2 years. Mm-hmm. This was a long term.
Yeah.
She was in it for the long term. But I was reading online about it because, of course, I got very fascinated. And so I did a little deep dive online. I heard someone refer to it as cyber Munchausen.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a technical term, but it's, I guess.
I don't think it is. But yeah. I get what they were saying with that term.
Yeah.
That it was hurting. It sets the daughter up to be really, really, really hurt and to run to the one person where she always finds comfort, and that's mom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that kind of makes some sense to me. But I also think there's something else to it as well. That might be part of it. But
all of the healthy people in the world look at this and go, we got to put a label on it because we have to understand it. If we can put a label on it, there's a group of these people, they do things like this and they do it because of this and it makes them safer. They're over here in this category. Sometimes there's just horrible people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's just horrible, evil human beings who will lie, cheat, manipulate, steal, do whatever they need to so their inner whatever feels good on the inside. I mean, does it, again, probably begin somewhere with trauma somewhere? Yes, probably. But at the end of the day, they chose that path and they said, I'm going to go down this because this is the path of least resistance and this is how I'm going to live my life. And I'm not going to change. And I know it affects other people, my kids, my family, all this. I can see it, but it's me. So I'm going to do it and they're going to live with it and they're never going to figure it out. And a lot of people live their whole lives and people don't figure it out. Some do, but they just disappear. Oh, but then they get blamed. Oh, I don't need them anyhow. I would say if one thing is true that I've learned about narcissists, borderlines, and things like that, when push comes to shove and shit's about to really hit the fan, there's one thing they all go to, and that is their own trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And their stories, they change. I've seen this in my own personal life, mm-hmm. someone who shared their own stories of their own trauma with me for years. And I understood the story. I understood the baseline of what it was. I understood actually in great detail what it was. But when they were traumatizing other people and they were being held accountable for it, suddenly the stories of their own trauma reemerged, even though it had nothing to do with the current situation of what they were inflicting on someone else. It went back to their trauma stories, and those trauma stories ended up being like 10 times worse than the original version.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, wait a second here. Like, this is not remotely how you've said. And I get, you know, sometimes people, you know, they don't want to share it. And I get that. This is not that. This is posturing. This is acting. This is making it far worse than anything could possibly have been to get sympathy and empathy for your own absolutely awful, deplorable behavior, because there's no other way out of it.
See, I think she wasn't ever planning on getting caught. I think
they never are.
Things going on. I think she enjoyed the trauma that she was causing her daughter and like, look, I'm here to help you.
Yeah.
I also think that she had a thing for Owen.
Yeah.
The boy. Because she was texting him some really sick, perverted things.
Yeah.
And the same things to the daughter. And like, I don't even want to talk like that. It just really bothers me that this boy had to go through that at a, and they were young.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that there was your girlfriend's mom sent you those messages.
Yeah.
So I think in a way, I have to wonder if she didn't see the daughter as competition and she was interested in the boy.
I think there's a level of that that she did. I think she was trying to live through her daughter as a lot of parents try to do live through their children, yeah. which is sickening. I think you have that. I think you have a lot of dark fantasies, dark control fantasies, all being met, all being fed, and all being played out by what she was doing with this. She's controlling her daughter. She's clearly jealous of her daughter in many ways, shapes, and forms. And the fact that she was able to essentially ruin her daughter's life, I think that made her feel good. And especially... Yeah. The daughter kept coming back to her. The daughter still is coming back to her, at least according to the documentary. I don't know where things are today, but
I did look that up about where they're at today.
Yeah.
And she, on probation, the mom cannot see the daughter.
Good.
And I think the daughter has pulled away a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I hope it stays that way. There is nothing good that will ever come of your mother. As much as you want that, and she talks about it like a 17-year-old would talk about it. And so it's no dig on this young woman, but I'm sorry. I mean, she's 17, and she's not a 17-year-old that I think has a lot of perspective on things.
No, and most 17-year-olds don't.
They don't.
You know, I think her dad seems to be doing a good job of stepping up and helping her through this. But, you know, a relationship with your mom for most young girls is it's the most powerful relationship you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be so traumatized by your own mother, to wrap your brain around that would be really impossibly hard. And so then you have your mom love bombing you at the same time and making you feel guilty now. Because she loves you so much. And then you're like, oh, my mom loves me so much. And she is really sorry she did that.
And that moment in time, she is.
You tend to rewrite your own history.
Yeah. When like, she needs something from
you. Wasn't that bad, you know? So she's dealing with it in a teenager sort of way. Because she doesn't have, and I hope she's in therapy. I'm assuming she's in therapy.
Yeah.
The daughter. I really don't give two shits about the mom. But the daughter, I hope, is in therapy. The mom, I honest to God, as I watch that, I don't feel she had any accountability.
The best thing that can happen is if she gets hit by a bus.
There was no accountability.
No.
There is excuses. There's a difference between making excuses and accountability.
Well, in the documentary, she sits there and she does like her crying routine and... But will interject, as they all do. We saw it recently in the Sherry Papini documentary, where it's just moments of horribleness and shame. And then, but what do you think about this?
Yeah.
But wait a second. I mean, on my defense, he was kind of this, or they were kind of that. And they insert something here that's absolutely absurd, but they think they're going to get some sort of ground on it that somehow justifies the means to the behavior.
Right.
And they don't realize how absurd it sounds. And then they'll jump to that because they got to have something that justifies this insanity or this horrible thing that they've done. And they don't get it. Then that goes back to, oh.
I have trauma. I'm like.
Yeah, we all do. All kids. Got trauma. No and kidding. You just made it 1,000 times worse for your daughter. Whatever you just went through, there's a Netflix documentary about the trauma you inflicted on your daughter. So I don't care what the hell happened to you. It ain't anywhere near what you've done to her. And she's sitting there thinking,
Well, I have that void in my life, and I
wish, and it's a touchy thing with, you know, teenagers. I have one. And in many ways, not gone through this specific situation, but I can understand the mother abandonment thing. Mm-hmm. I can understand the manipulation, the love bombing that these people do to their children to try and manipulate the children when they're the damn adults that caused all the damn pain to begin with. I can understand all this, probably on a level most can't. So
I can vouch for that.
So I'm coming to this story and once again, with some of that.
And your situation's similar in the fact that there's no accountability.
None.
There's excuses. And one thing, when I wrote it down, there's one thing that the mom said that really, really bothered me. She said that realistically, a lot of people of us have probably broken the law at some point or another and not gotten caught. I'm sure people drove drunk and haven't been caught. And I'm
as if it somehow equates to this.
What? Like, well, if you ever drove drunk, then you're as guilty as I am.
The fact that she's sitting there saying those things out loud on a documentary.
And I read too that she wasn't going to do the documentary, and she was the last one who agreed to do it. And it took quite a bit of coaxing her to do it. I still can't believe she did it, because I Googled it. Like, why did she do it?
That was my other question. Like, because at first I was thinking like did they start filming before they figured out who it was and then they bust? No, they knew it all along. But the fact that they got her to talk, I mean, I don't know, but was there a little ka-ching that
didn't
came?
I read that? I think that she, and you will relate to this as well.
Yeah.
Because you also have experience in this. But I think that she thought she could go on camera and manipulate everyone into thinking, oh, you know what? I'm going to tell them, like, everybody's done something wrong.
You're exactly right.
People have drove drunk.
It's the same way, same reason Cherry Papini did a documentary. It's the same way Donna Adelson's taking the stand. It's the same reason Alec Murdaugh took the stand. It's the same reason, what's her name, who likely killed her daughter, just did another doc series about her life recently, where she talks about it was her dad that was in, it's not Jodi Arias, but there was...
What's that one?
It was another one. She was very attractive.
She killed her daughter.
Killed her daughter. Yeah. And you know what I'm talking. I just hear names of sleep. It's the same reason these people.
Casey Anthony.
These people think they can just jump on and control the narrative. The same way that she thought she could just start saying these things to the children and somehow control their life and the narrative. And that's the sick part about mom here, is she went into this and her excuses are, when I was a child, I had horrible things happen to me, and it was my reaction. I was so afraid that these horrible things are going to happen to my daughter. So I'm going to
traumatize her first.
Basically going to beat it to the punch.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and control this or traumatize first, which is what so many borderlines and narcissists do. It's let's create some new trauma. Let's create some new drama over here. That's far worse than anything the world could just or naturally flow at us. And then it blows it out of the water. But why? Even though it destroys lives, because they were in control of opening that dam.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason. It's like the town's flooded. Everyone's dying. Yeah, but I got to press the button. It didn't just break at any random time.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You did this.
Well, and then one of the excuses that she used was I was raped at 17. And if that's true, and I have a hard time believing anything this woman says after these text messages that they bombard the screen with more than once. Like they just put up hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. Like, and you can't even read them. They go up so fast. There was thousands. I think they said there was 740 pages or something like that. It printed out text messages. It was huge. So if she was raped, which I just have a hard time believing anything that comes
out. I
do feel bad for her if that's the case. And she does need therapy to get through that. Why does that have anything to do with her traumatizing her daughter in this way.
It's because it's not. Look, she should get therapy. Without a doubt.
God, yes.
For herself. And that's how therapy should be to begin with for anybody. You're doing it for your... If you're not good, you're not going to be good for anybody else.
But
so number one...
Can I interject right real quick there? As you know, and I know too, because I have a mother like this, when people like her go into therapy, it's because they have to, or it's because... Yeah, I'm in therapy, but nothing that they're getting in therapy is sinking in.
No, they have to participate.
And they're only, the therapist can only work with what you give them. So I, like in my case, my mom told the therapist all kinds of crap.
Mm-hmm.
That was not true. And we had a family therapy meeting. We all told what the therapist what was going on. And I'll never forget, she picked up her notebook next to her, the folder, and she looks at it and she's really confused. And she says my mom's name out loud. Is that who we're talking about? And we're like, yeah. She had no idea. Yeah. And so to me, if she is in therapy, is she really getting therapy? That's
highly,
two different things. And the, doubtful. The other thing that was really bothersome to me in this, there's like, everything from point A to from the minute it started to the minute it ended. But the two break up, which seemed to be what she wanted, like break up with him and all this. He starts dating another girl. She, the mom, starts sending the girl and the girl's mom, I think it was, messages.
Yeah.
That's when I'm like, oh, hell, this is about the boy.
Yeah.
As much as it is hurting her own daughter. So her daughter comes running to her. It's almost a jealousy thing. I got them broke up. Then, but I mean, the messages still weren't ending.
I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, this is a closeted child predator is what she is.
Yeah, very much. Agreed.
In more ways than one. But she can't believe herself to be that, even though that's exactly what she is. That's why she tells her,
she was just obsessed with this kid.
Yeah.
And then she got, you know, like his mom and her were very close because they're trauma bonding. Both of their kids are going through this. And so then the mom is as betrayed. But like she, the mom of who did it, got the other mom convinced it must be this high school kid. So then it's like this witch hunt.
Yeah.
So she's getting other people to go after innocent high school kids who should be having a great time being in high school, playing sports, doing all the stuff you do. But instead, they're being accused. Everybody in the school is looking at each other like, are you the one? Are you the one? No, it's this one. Chloe did it.
Yeah.
And it's so sad. There's so many lives affected by this.
This woman is so monstrous at the end of the day. It is shocking. I get why there's a Netflix documentary about it. It's insane that she went on there. I'm glad she did because I hope it ruins the rest of her life.
She's already regretting it.
No, I mean, and I mean, look, these people are not going to change. I'm going to tell you right now. And if anyone in that family is listening, especially the daughter that was Trump, your mom will never change.
No,
she's not.
No.
And that's what that's the one thing I feel like was missing out of this. And I feel like needs to be drilled harder into her daughter by people that she trusts and cares about, that people that she will listen to, because she seems so flippant to be like, well, mom just said, she has the attitude of it like her mom does. Like, this is not a big deal, because I don't think she realizes the trauma yet that was inflicted on her. But she doesn't seem to have a clue.
In the middle of it.
That this is horrible and should not be looked at as like mom's just made a mistake. And I know dad's probably trying to walk a thin line there of like, well, I don't want to turn her against me. But look, somebody's got to get to this girl and say, look, nothing. You should have no contact with her. This is a monster. She will only destroy your life. She has a severe personality disorder. She is never going to be fixed. She is never going to be changed. This age in life, she's gone this far operating this way. She's already trying to rationalize her way through this documentary.
She's manipulating her daughter.
Yeah. She's trying to manipulate the audience on the dock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is how she is. This is the monster she is. She look cool and cuddly? And do you have some fond memories of her in one way, shape, or form? Yes. And you know what? So do some animals in the wild until they reach a certain age and the animal in the wild decides the best form of the next step to take here in the wild is to eat the child. That's essentially what this woman was trying to do. Destroy her own kid.
Yeah. And
you can't. You pretend she's dead. Have a funeral and move on. That is the best blunt advice you can receive.
I'm old. And so I see the end part of this.
Yeah.
These people don't change. And, you know, I know in your situation, we've had a lot of conversations about this over the years. And it doesn't change.
Yeah.
And they... Like, and in her case, it just makes me so sad because at 17, you don't really know the way the world works. You don't know how, especially their small town. I grew up in a small town. I was pretty, like, once I left the small town, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
There were some things I learned that went on in the world I had no idea about. Mm-hmm. You know, because back then we didn't have constant news and stuff. Yeah.
Or just knowledge that people are capable of doing these things.
Horrific things, and especially your own parent.
Yeah.
And so she's trying to process what's happened while at the same time her mom's gone to jail and has nothing to do other than obsess about how to get my daughter back.
And all
I'm
she does.
Love bomb her the best way I can. God.
And that was a sick part of it. Yeah, I love you so much. You know what? I've seen that shit too.
Yeah.
I've seen it. It's disturbing. I've seen it come in the form of cards every day. I've seen it come in this way and that way, and it's manic as shit. And does it ever make sense to the emotions and the feelings of the person that was initially traumatized? No. It's 1,000% for the predator. But the predator can say, look what I did. Look how loving I am. Look how much I care. Look, I sent them all. And then they get to be the victim again because the person that's been preyed upon doesn't want to have anything to do with them. Oh, and now they disrespect me. They don't care about me. So then they can perceive disrespect because that's the other big thing with these folks. They don't like disrespect. And then they get to become re-victimized once again. And it all goes back to childhood. But at the same point, they just keep creating the scenes to become the victims in. And everybody else has to be an actor in it until the actors finally say, you know what? It's a one-man play. Have fun.
There was and I don't remember it exactly. But there was, I think it was a text that she sent her daughter from while she's in prison. And it's like, you know, I really enjoyed our phone call, but I was really sad because you didn't say I love you at the end of the phone call.
Yeah, that shit.
That to me said, that spoke volumes. Mm. It was like, you know, the girl probably just was like, okay, bye, mom. Click.
It's trying to get that little bit of control in there.
And just then stick a knife in. Rather than just go on about her day in prison, the mom turns that innocent slight into this poor me. Obviously, if you loved me, you wouldn't. It's really bothered me all day. I just want to hear you say you love me. But oh, well. Oh, my God. If I had a dime for every time I had to deal with that stuff in my life.
The bitch
if only you would have done that. But obviously, you didn't care. Poor me. Then now mom's the victim. And the poor daughter, who has been terrifically traumatized, is now dealing with, oh, no, I hurt my mom's feelings now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Read some of the text messages again. Like, look at what your mom did to you.
These people are everywhere. They wreak havoc in lives. They don't all go kill people, but they might as well for the level of trauma. Sometimes it almost seems like it's less worse that everyone has to go live their lives after the trauma that some of these people do to others. But until you educate yourself on it and understand it, you can't just keep writing these folks off as, oh, well, you know, that's how she is. Mom's this, mom's a little bit of that. No, mom's a monster. And until you accept that and realize that, it's just going to be chaos.
Did you think, I thought it was weird when the cops show up at her house, mom, and they confront her with everything. I almost thought that was edited footage. Like, she really did fold like
She folded like that. Yeah.
That surprised me. I thought she would have some BS story.
No.
That some excuse, some something. Then the daughter comes in and she's like all over her and lovey and touchy and feely and like, I guess I did this, honey.
I got so creeped out by the whole damn
thing. Oh, that bothered me.
The woman is a monster. And always will be. Good reading on this topic. If you are recognizing some of this as something in maybe in your life or has been, and you're like, I'd like to get a little more healing from that. I Hate You, Don't Leave Me is a good book. And also Dr. Ramani has a great one out right now called It's Not You. And I highly recommend that one. That's another great one on this topic that will help folks heal who have been in the victimized war of this.
Like, and I have not read that book, but the title alone, because they have a way of convincing you it's you, or trying to convince you it's you. That's, and when you're 17, you're going to believe it.
And you know what? 9 out of 10 people go for it, and they do. That's how they're able to have this image in life around, but behind the closed doors, it's something completely different. Just like you were saying, like, is this your mom? Like, yeah, surprisingly it is. Yeah.
That really happens.
It's they're spooky, creepy. Some may say evil. I would tend to agree with that sometimes. But it's spooky stuff. It's a very interesting doc. It's worth watching. It's on Netflix. Go check that out. And let us know in the comments section. What are your thoughts on this? What did you take away from this whole experience? If you watched that doc, did you relate to it? Are there things, is there other advice you would throw out there? Other thoughts on this type of a situation? Because it's...
And I should add, I hope the boy gets some therapy too. I've heard that he's gone off to college.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope he can find a way to put this in the past.
Yeah. I wish the best for all of them.
And his family. I mean, they were traumatized. The school superintendent, the principal, like, and teachers.
And the anger end of this, too. I want to say that. Don't hold on to the anger. It's not worth it. You have your life to live. You have your energy to expel. And this person already sucked so much out of you. Don't give them any more of it. Yes. Move on. Read the book. Pretend she's dead. And grieve. And move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's grieve. Go through the stages of grieving. And move on with your life. That is the only recipe you are going to find to be satisfactory when you're 30, 40, 50 years old looking back at life, my dear. That is what you are going to be wishing you did if you do not. Trust me. A lot of people will speak to that. All right. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
At McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.